So I have one in college now, which means I have the joy every fall of doing the FAFSA, right? How many of you have done the FAFSA? The free application for federal student aid, 2 or 3 hours of your life that you will never get back. And then I had somebody on the way out say he has triplets and said, you know, I had to do it 3 times. I'm like, wow. But, you know, when you fill out the FAFSA, it's really not as bad as it used to because it's all online. But when you fill it out, one of the things that you have to do is go through a section that's called the EFC. And that stands for the Expected Family Contribution. What are we expected to contribute to my daughter's education? Well, this morning as we have gathered, one of the things that we're going to do, as I mentioned, we're going to be bringing up our financial commitments to the Lord. And the reason why we do this year after year is to do it together as the Trinity family, because we're all in this together. This ministry, this church and school have been entrusted to all of us from the Lord. We're all in this together. So let me ask you, what is your EFC, your expected family contribution? Now, some of you already are beginning to bristle a little bit, say, whoa, 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 expected? That sounds compulsory or obligatory. Is this some kind of requirement? Are we paid dues or fees when we come to church to be members? Well, of course not. But let me ask you this, does God expect you to give? Yes, of course he does. In fact, to be more precise, God made you to give. God made you to give. Every one of us is a gift. I've been trying to tell this to Shelley for years. Don't you know, baby, that I am God's gift to you? That's what she does. She laughs at me. All ego aside, every one of you, and every me too, we are gifts. We are, in fact, unique, unrepeatable gifts from God. And so to be Captain Obvious, a gift is meant to be given, right? And all of a sudden, you realize what I'm getting into here isn't just about our money. Our money, when we make these financial commitments, money is just a symbol, right? It's just a piece of paper or coins or credit card, whatever. It's just a symbol actually of ourselves, of our lives, that we're offering and giving this to the Lord. The point is that we are to give our total selves. We are to be a total gift to him. And in that second reading from St. Paul, to his second letter to the Corinthians, he said that we are to grow in this grace of giving, that we're supposed to increase our giving as we go through life, to become more and more of who we are as gift. And of course, again, God can expect us to give because he made us to give, but he wants more than that, doesn't he? Of course, he wants our hearts. He wants it to come not because it's required of us or it's just our duty, okay, fine, I'll do it. No, he wants it to come out of our hearts. And that's why Paul said this, each one of you must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Got another video for you this morning. I want to thank Matt Harris, and he and Pastor Davis worked on these videos and put them together. I want to thank them for doing that. And in this video, I want to introduce you to one of our newer couples here to the Trinity family. This is Rick and Peggy McCullough. And what I would like you to notice as you listen to them talk is how they give of themselves so cheerfully. So if we can hit the lights, let's take a look at this. One of the things I just love about what they were talking about, when Rick was talking about his dad, and to say every one of us has a gift to give, and it's up to us to figure out what it is. Precisely. Every one of us is a unique, unrepeatable gift from God. That means that only you can give the way you can give. Wow. Think about that for a second. This is what Paul's getting at. He says this, if the readiness is there to give, then it's acceptable according to what a person has or who a person is, not according to what he does not have. So, what do you have to give? Some of us run right away. We hear a question like that. We kind of go into the whole Eeyore thing. I don't have anything to give. I'm just an old donkey, you know, or whatever. Let's look at these stories of the widows, though. You got to understand right off the bat that in biblical times, a widow was extraordinarily vulnerable, especially the one in the first reading. She has also a dependent child. In those days, women were not breadwinners, and there wasn't a welfare system. So here you have this widow with a dependent child, and there is a drought, a famine, and they are literally down to their last meal. They're going to make this meal and then starve to death. But it's precisely at this moment that God comes to her and asks her to give. She has nothing to give, but God comes to her and asks her to give. He sends his prophet Elijah to her. Elijah comes and says, make me a cake. Not make me a cake if you've got something to spare. No, make me a cake first, and then you and your son make something to eat. I'm like, this is like one of the most insensitive things he could ever possibly done, right? This is ludicrous. Somebody needs to give to her. She's the one in need. You're asking her to give? Come on. She's got nothing. But she trusts, doesn't she? When Elijah said, the Lord will provide, it'll be there for you. She trusts that word. She gives her little bit of nothing, and she's got plenty. Now let's compare that to what the story we heard about last week of this rich young man. He had lots, but he couldn't let go of it. He could not bring himself to trust Jesus. But that's what happens when we make a God out of something that's not a God. We won't let go of it. See, we look to our God, gods, whatever you want to call it, we look to it for safety and for security. And so let's say your God is money. You're looking there for safety and security. So, well, I got to have more. And we begin to hoard and cling and grab. The problem is it's never enough. We never feel totally safe and secure. You see, behind our greed is actually a great fear. A fear that it's not going to be enough. A fear that, you know, God's not going to come through for me. And so then what happens to us, if that fear has a hold of our hearts and someone comes along and asks us to give, we begin to panic. We freak out. Oh, no. And we begin to cling and grab and look for more, and we hoard it and hoard it and hoard it. And then we make excuses and say, no, I can't. I don't have enough. Ask somebody else to do it. I mean, either we're going to let greed and fear control our hearts, or we're going to trust the Lord. It's one way or the other, right? The funny thing is that sometimes it's easier for people who don't have much to trust. And maybe it's because when you only have a little bit, what else is there to do but to trust and to have hope? And that's why when we are rich and we have an abundance, why we need to give it away. Why we need to become poor. We need to learn how to trust. We need to learn how to depend. I know this sounds crazy, right? It's, in fact, what we call a paradox. Something that seems contradictory, but it's actually true. It seems like a contradiction. See, here's the truth. If you want to have, you don't hold on to it. You actually give it away. If you hold on to it, it will never be enough. If you give it away, you will have plenty. And that's what Rick and Peggy were talking about in the video. You give and you actually receive more. It doesn't make sense. It's a paradox. But it's so true. And so in the gospel reading, we have in the temple a bunch of rich people coming and bringing lots of gifts to the Lord. Lots and lots of money. It's quite a scene. In fact, we know that they would literally trumpet and congratulate themselves. They'd sound out trumpets, and so-and-so is giving so much money. And they make a whole scene out of this and patting themselves on the back, how much they're giving to the Lord. But Jesus says they weren't giving anything because it was their surplus. This is their leftovers. Didn't change their lifestyle. They didn't have to make any sacrifices, and therefore they weren't really giving anything of themselves. They weren't really trusting God. They still had plenty on their own. And nobody trusted her when she showed up that day. I mean, who would notice a poor widow putting a couple of the smallest coins in the coffer? The only people maybe who noticed her were the people who were judging her, like, that's it? That's all you're doing? Really? But she sneaks in quietly and she puts those two coins in. Not give one, take, keep one. No, no, no. She puts both of them in. She puts in everything that she's got, all that she has to live on, which literally could be translated, she gave her whole life. And Jesus notices her. Jesus is in the temple that day. He's in the temple because it's Holy Week. And within a few days, he's going to give his whole life. The God who has everything in heaven gives it all up, becomes nothing, comes down and gives it all away, gives himself away completely so that he would gain us. This is why that paradox is true, that if you hold on to it, it's never enough. If you give it away, you will have plenty. It's because of him. Now, there's no way she could have known what Jesus was about to do in a few days. But she didn't need to. She knew that the Father is like that. That our Heavenly Father always gives. He's the giver. He always gives everything. Even his own son. And she trusted that. She trusted him so much. She trusted the Father so much. She gave everything she had back to him. My friends, what we are now ready to do, hopefully you've picked up on this by now, it's not about the money. It's not about our money, it's about our lives. Completely giving and trusting our lives to the Father. And so let me ask you a few questions. Do you trust him with everything? Or just the little bits, the parts, the leftovers? Do you trust him with your entire life? Do you believe that if you give it away, you will have plenty? Do you believe that the Father will be there for you and that he will provide for you? You see, the real EFC is the expected Father's contribution. That we in faith can expect him to come through for us. I want to invite you to come forward now whenever you're ready. Bring with you, if you would, please, those commitment cards. You can bring your today's offering, the attendance cards, if you sign those. Bring those up. And I want to encourage you to come up to the altar and put them here in the basket. If you don't want to do steps, that's fine. You can put them in one of these baskets. Those of you who are our guests, of course, do not expect you to do this. But I want to invite everyone, guest and member alike, to come up here and pray. Draw close to the altar of God. And maybe this is what you want to pray about. Lord, where do I need to trust you more with my life? And then just simply ask him to help you trust. So whenever you're ready, feel free to come up. Give yourself, your whole self to the Lord.